Well, he goes on patrol. He's listening for people who are mowing their yards, because there is nothing more offensive to him than someone who is in their own yard on the other side of his fence.
Yeah.
How very dare they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if they're in their yard at all for any reason, and he can see them, he's aware that they're there, he barks his fool head off.
That's a problem.
It is a big problem. If anybody's mowing their grass, fuck them. Fuck them hard.
I agree.
He does not condone grass cutting anywhere within earshot.
I mean, so far you're painting a picture as though he's insane, but like, this all seems very reasonable.
No, it's for him, it's completely reasonable. There's a method to it. It really messes with him when we have like sleet, because there's weird sounds coming from outside that may or may not be squirrels. Mm-hmm. So he's got to go check it out. But when he goes out there, it just, he goes crazy because it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's problematic for him.
That's why I hate the fall. Like, the dead leaves always sound like there's someone moving around behind me. It just fucking drives me crazy.
No, that's a thing.
I don't like feeling like someone's sneaking up on me.
When I was at U of I, the quad was huge, and walking around had that exact same, like, the with how expansive it was, sound was just like, the echoes really mess with you.
Come on, Panda.
Either walking around with the leaves or in fresh fallen snow, that crunch of fresh fallen snow had the exact same effect.
Tony, I had to hear about this Archon room block situation from Sean. He doesn't even live in this state. Actually, I think he moved to this state. I think he lives here now.
I thought you were on top of it.
Well, I got my room. I mean, to be fair, we got it within hours of the room box opening.
Also, I just kind of show up and assume somebody's going to take care of me, so
yeah,
it's not something I worry about.
And who's that?
Tony.
It's first bugger than me.
Yeah, so Sausage Fest 10 is going to be happening.
We're playing big things.
Are we on? Are we recording?
We are recording, and
I should stop playing Civilization.
No one told you. Had to
no
stop.
One said that.
That is completely on you.
I mean, the only comment I have on that particular issue is that you're playing the previous version of the game.
I mean, it's an old game, so what does it matter?
No, that's my point. Like, you know,
well, and it's not like previous. I mean, it's, well, it actually,
actually
is.
I think it's the previous now.
Because, yeah, it might be the third previous. Because it's 4. I'm playing 4.
Well, I don't think 7's out. I think 6 is
out. I thought there was one after 6 that's called something completely different. Like, it's not called a number, it's called something else, totally.
That might be. But.
Too fast, too civilized.
The Paul Walker edition. You just drift your way through time.
It's too soon.
It's never too soon.
It's too soon.
It's never too soon. I was kind of waiting on Panda before we got started.
Oh. Yeah, we've already started.
Yeah, we should probably just check, though.
Make sure he isn't frozen.
We have a dicey fence.
Oh.
Yeah. Panda, get in here. Oh, also, he's trying to tunnel out.
Same.
He's got a hole over
freedom!
No lie, that's like this deep. Are your feet muddy? They must be. Are you cold? He's cold.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in the cold.
Yeah.
It turns out.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
I figure we might as well get started.
What do we decide on for next week, Tony?
Searching.
Okay, Searching. It's on Netflix. Now all the business is done. What is it on?
Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Okay, now that all the business is done, let's get down to the real business of this movie tonight. Because we're going to go on a journey.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
So last night at trivia...
I forgot about this.
Last night at trivia, surprise, surprise, I got drunk. And then I decided this was the time to go home and watch the movie.
What is happening?
Yeah, I know. So, like, I'm going to go home and watch the movie. I was like, all right, okay.
He just pulled something out of his pocket that looked like pages, pages of notes.
This is State Farm stationery. You know, Rachel Williams, she's been a pretty good agent.
First
to me.
Of all, my agent has never sent me stationery. Of all the useless either.
She hasn't.
They send me.
I had to go into her office.
And you took her stationery from her?
She gave me many things, including a life insurance policy.
Well, she knows.
She so didn't.
It's just, it's right around the corner.
I've already willed it all to my cats.
She's hoping by giving like, you no all one, this stationery, you might give her a little...
No one assumed any differently.
A little coin.
Yeah, I'm like fairly certain Muddy Buddy gave Kuchiki cancer, so she'd get a bigger piece of the pie.
Muddy Buddy, yeah.
Because she is pretty cunty. So, all right.
What are you doing?
So, this is a movie about poetry, and thus...
Oh, shit.
I have 12 pages of poetry... However,
is this all new?
This is all written during the movie, of which I have a tenuous memory. Not of the I don't really remember the poetry either. But my memories of the movie are, we'll call them brief. But these are in-moment reactions to what was happening on the screen. That something would happen and I would react and write poems.
You know, it's too bad we don't have a Patreon account, because...
That's exactly the kind of material.
That would
the
be
quality.
It.
Yeah. This is a full year. I could just publish one page a month.
Right. We'd record it. We would record it, and that would be bonus content for the Patreon.
People account. Reading poetry makes me so uncomfortable. Like, why? No matter. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Anna got me this book of death poems.
That's great.
And I found that.
It's like generally about loss, not only death, but loss.
They're death poems.
Grief.
Yeah. So yeah. I found if I read them out loud, it makes me feel better.
That's cool.
It doesn't. It doesn't make me feel better, but it sounds nicer. And I enjoy poetry. So.
So how do you want to handle this?
I'm not going to read them all. I think what we're going to do is we're going to have the discussion, and then I'll just interject.
Okay.
I'll ejaculate poetry.
Perfect.
And I told David I'd snap for him.
Oh, excellent.
I don't need that.
All right, so...
You haven't heard it yet. You're not going to want to snap.
Earlier today, you alluded to a treat. Is this the...
This is the treat, yeah.
Yeah, this is the treat. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so what movie are we talking about?
The Kindergarten Teacher. Starring...
Maggie.
I don't know how to
say it. Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Some of these are bad, Tony. Some of this is really...
Some of them?
Like, high school 101 poetry.
Fantastic.
Yeah. This is the stuff, like, when you were 15, you were like, this is going to get me laid. It didn't.
Does it have any, like... It wouldn't have worked on me.
I never wrote poetry.
The word fallow is in this first one.
If a boy had ever written poetry and then, like, read it to me, I would have disappeared. Like, not in a good way. Like, I would have melted, but not, like... Oh, I'm melting. I've just been like, oh, please.
I'm a witch. No, it turns out I'm a witch.
I'm melting. So uncomfortable.
Are there any extended metaphors about jaguars?
No, there are no cougars? Jaguar.
Okay.
There was a follow-up question that.
Or cougars.
No cougars. Well, maybe cougars.
Definitely
out. There's some definite cougar references, but they're oblique cougar references.
Okay. I'll accept it.
How subtle.
Also, I will tell you that they actually get better as time goes on, because I started to sober up. Because
That doesn't sound right.
These first ones are bad.
All right. So what made you decide to write the poetry? Was it the fact that... Did you know that poetry was involved in this?
Or? Oh, I was about 5 minutes into the movie. Okay. So, right. And I was like, I actually really love poetry. So,
okay.
Independent of this movie.
Right. Yeah. Anna, what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I have a lot of questions, but overall I liked it.
Kayla?
I don't know. I'm kind of hoping to, like, form an opinion during this podcast. I don't know. Like, at some points, I'm like, I can see that this is a really good movie. And then other points, I just, like, I don't know. I was uncomfortable.
Well, here's how I feel, Tony.
Uh-oh.
Thrust upon this prone form assumed by this fallow grave, these weak definitions torn, submits now itself unmade. That's how I felt about the movie.
I don't know what that means.
I think that's the point.
That was my review of mostly of the movie, well, too. Of the right. What I remember of the movie was not terrible, but also not great.
I think it was a well-made movie that succeeded in what it was trying to do.
What was it trying to
make me feel very uncomfortable. This movie made me feel as uncomfortable as Hard Candy did.
Really?
In a really? Completely different way, but it made me feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, it made me highly uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Which is part of why I'm saying I think it was probably good, because it kept me engaged, but it made me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it kept you engaged?
I didn't know where it was going to go.
Oh, there's a different set of judgment happening here. Kept you engaged?
I was engaged the whole time. I just happened to also be playing some Civilization while I was...
Oh, I see.
I just, it's like, once you, like, get into it with the Japanese, it's hard to pull away.
I agree, because I always play as the Japanese. So, here's what happened. So, I had some people come over and get a bed and a mattress, like, the stuff out of my garage.
Right.
Okay? So Anna came over and she's like, all right, well, I gotta watch the movie before we leave. Okay, I got some work I'm going to go do. So, like, I hear her rustling around in the living room, which I assume is you plugging in your laptop. So I'm working, and then, like, 5 minutes go by, Anna has started playing Civilization, and I'm like, that's not the movie! But you were wearing your headphones, you didn't even hear me.
Oh, I heard you, I just ignored you.
Well, you know what? Creeper creep! Amidst their stiff reeds, Beck and Hyde, those sad, desperate word, I don't know. I don't think it's needs, although that, you know, I need a pen. Of thine, no, you don't need to do that. Of thine own self, the biggest fan, this angry desperation we call human!
Wow.
The first one was better.
Actually.
Well, strap in.
Oh, there's more.
How many there's total more. Do we have?
Well, I did two a page, and I got 12 pages.
Ooh. All right. We got
they
ways
get
to
worse.
Go.
They get worse, and then they get better. It's a spectrum. It's a spectrum of both.
Really, this really is a journey.
We're on mile two of this marathon.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, so was the point to make you uncomfortable?
I think so.
Was it? When did you start feeling uncomfortable?
Pretty early on.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It started with how touchy-feely she was all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Her pedagogy is fucked up.
Yeah. Like, at first it was with...
What that word means.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
At first it was with the students, but she did the same thing at home. And that was like, this is weird. Like, and I don't have a problem with being touchy. I don't have a problem with people hugging and being hugged. It's not something I have a problem with. But it was uncomfortable for me. So I know it was problematic. Like it was just a lot of it. And it was a very definite character acting choice, because it was very deliberate.
Yeah.
The movie didn't.
I said that didn't bug me. Sorry. It didn't bug me.
I'm sorry. I'm going to start sneezing away from the microphone.
Soon. Yeah.
Yeah, you're dying over there.
I'm alive.
I've just started tuning out all hugging and touching from things. So I don't even really see when it's excessive anymore. It's all excessive.
I didn't think it was excessive. Well, I mean, she just seemed like a kindergarten teacher. And, me and my mom are really, physically affectionate with each other like that. So,
being physically affectionate, how often do you talk to people and just touch them when you're talking to them?
If it's my mom?
Not your mom. Because she did that, all the time.
I know, but I just saw that as, I don't do that personally. But that's mostly because I hang with this dude.
Well.
And he's, psychotic about not being touched. So
that's true.
psychotic about not being touched. I just prefer not to be touched.
How many times you have, like, straight up flinched? Like I struck you by just brushing against you?
Listen, I don't want to invade your space.
Was that so? But, I know, some people are just like that.
Tony, I don't want to, like, put words in your mouth or, I don't know, but something you might have picked up on, even though technically her touching wasn't inappropriate, is that the way she interacted with the kids was entirely about her.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I was sort of in the classroom, like, almost thinking if I were evaluating her, evaluating what was going on, I was thinking about, A, what was interesting about coming into the classroom was we'd find this out later, but she's got these dusty blue walls. Blue is her favorite color. Her house is blue. She wears a lot of blue bras.
Yeah.
And
see-through blue bras.
Yes. I like that. I like Maggie Gyllenhaal's breasts a lot, like I have for years.
I'm a big fan of Maggie. To the point that it's problematic.
Oh, okay. And
did you call the police?
No. All right, so I'm going to
derail here in a minute. Maybe the problem was you guys and your concentration on Maggie Gyllenhaal's breasts.
No, I didn't.
Do you watch
Maybe that was your discomfort. You're wanting those breasts.
She's naked a lot in The Deuce.
Oh, I will watch it.
I've never seen her
mostly
naked
in
before.
The first scene.
Okay.
First season, I guess.
I've seen her naked.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh. No, thank you. No, but so, like, was when I went, when I walked into, when I saw the classroom in that opening scene, I noticed that a lot of her visuals were posted up too high for the kids to see.
Wow.
They were not at eye level for kindergartners. And I was like, okay, so this is a classroom that's not for kids. It's a classroom for adults.
I did not pick up on that.
There's a That's lot good. More print than there should be for people who are learning to read. Like, not enough pictures. And then the way she walks around the room, like, there are moments in which she engages, but you can tell that what she's doing is rote, and it's very much about her own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, like, interacting with the kids and connecting with them, and they don't connect with each other, which of course this is a movie, but it was like there was something eerie about the classroom in that, like, nobody during the paint scene, like, put paint on the other kid, like, none of it, like,
yeah.
So it was like all you could tell it was a very ego driven classroom.
There's a point when she announces that Jimmy. When Jimmy's not going to be there anymore.
Yes.
And then it's snack time. Snack time was really weird because she held the snacks. She's just holding this tray of snacks for the children to come up and take from her. Instead of just like, go get snacks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it was just very unusual. And I didn't pick up on the implications of it until you said that.
Yeah, everything that has good. To be gotten straight from... It was just, like, very... Like, the whole approach felt low-level abusive.
Well, office floor cunnilingus.
Oh.
Phrase our weak, pretentious bonds. This weak, neglectful teacher leads us into this world's darkest fronds. Oh, I was on a fucking roll.
Fronds? Wow.
I'm actually getting past... I think this is about the point where I stopped rhyming. Because I was getting tired.
Well.
That was office floor kind of.
I wonder what our friend Gail Garcia Bernal would think about that.
Oh, I don't know. Probably that it sucked, but he'd say it nicer.
Maybe not. Maybe the two of you would have a moment.
I doubt it.
Tension-filled moment.
Pregnant with possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The most of her actions through the entire movie were all very ego-driven. Her interactions in the classroom that she was teaching and in the classroom that she was attending and at home, she made a lot of things about her that weren't always about her.
Which is really like interesting because she was boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing even remotely exciting about her as a person.
Right.
Like, for her to even latch on to to be super egocentric about. Like, there was nothing remarkable about her in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know.
But that's kind of the problem, right? Is, like, she's empty and she needs somebody to fill her. Because, I mean, this is like a woman. Oh, shit.
No, go on. Go on.
Into something.
Go on.
To burst into song. And so, like, because that's what pissed me off. Because it's like she wants these, like, this, like, greater cultural awareness in the people around her.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, what are you reading?
Yeah, what are
you? What are you engaging? You live in fucking New York. You can go to anything. Like, why aren't you like, you can make a cultural life for yourself instead of insisting that your kids do whatever she thinks
yeah,
you should be doing.
Do whatever ambiguous,
yeah.
Be more cultured activity is.
Yeah.
Weird word. Why? This deep human, in air quotes, lie. Explain this deep emptiness to me. You must be held accountable. It's gonna get better.
I know what I'm asking for Christmas from you.
I got nothing but time on my hands, yeah, Tiny.
I know.
Nothing but time. This one's got three. The middle one starts with Maggie Gyllenhaal has crazy eyes. Little preview.
Yeah. Spoiler. I don't know. This, it's just so uncomfortable. Like, and I wasn't, the discomfort really amped up when she starts engaging one-on-one with Jimmy, like off the radar when she's like, here's my phone. Let me see your cell phone. Let me put my cell phone in it. And I'm not going to put my name. I'm going to put L for Lisa. It was just like fingers were crawling up and down my spine. It was
grooming. It was grooming.
It was.
Yeah.
It really. And, yeah. And that was the part of it that was like hard candy for me. That it was just like, it's so evil and disturbing. And it was like, where in the fuck is this going? Like, this is going to go to bad places. Even if intentions are completely pure, this is going into terrible places.
Yeah.
Did I not get this because she's a chick?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, like, immediately, that's...
Also, I think there's they do a lot of, like, escalation, like, well, slow escalation. Like, she starts waking him up during nap time, which is...
Yes.
That's the first time when I'm like...
Let's go to the bathroom
and talk. The rest, it's, like, quirky, like, weird stuff. But then she wakes him up during nap time, and I'm like, why would you do that? And then takes him to the bathroom to talk.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
yeah, I have no idea why, like, her co-teacher wasn't like...
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And also...
And she closed the door.
She could literally have taken him anywhere to talk, though, and it would have been... Like, anywhere else, and it would have been...
She wanted him to sit by the window so she could talk about a point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but you can do that anywhere. You can literally
do that. You could have gone out to the hall.
And also, can we talk about the central issue of this movie that doesn't make any sense? Yeah. This kid's poetry was shit. Like, this dude, there was no
this
deep insight.
This is what makes me uncomfortable about poetry. It's so subjective. Like, I don't understand when I'm supposed to feel like something's good and something's bad.
Okay.
Because I completely disagree with you on that.
You don't hear the things this kid's saying and throw your entire life away to hear him say more.
I mean, you might if you're feeling such a vast emptiness and despair with your life, the sort of desperation.
Wait, he's got a poem for that.
Desperation.
Do a poem for it.
To feel anything, a desperation to feel important. She's living, like, a pretty mediocre life. Like, she's not...
he's gonna die.
But
he's,
this,
like,
is also someone
here.
Who theoretically should be trained to watch for this type of behavior.
Yeah.
And she's using it. And that's what's extra disturbing about it. Like, at any point in the story, if that was a male teacher and a female student, like...
Oh, yeah.
The hammer would have fallen instantly. But that's what made it so much more insidious, is that we're just gonna kind of let it glaze over because... She's a mom, and she's a kindergarten teacher, and this is all still really fucking creepy.
Well, and it's a very closed world.
Yeah.
We don't have the sense of anybody's eyes on the situation.
Oh my god, that scared the hell out of me.
Holden.
Because he didn't want to interrupt the recording. I don't know how teenagers are.
Hello. Hey, Golden.
Thanks for interrupting.
The door's still locked. The door is locked. So. You're recording. All right. Everyone, Emma says hi. And Dad, she honked at someone on the way home.
Okay.
They whipped out of their park. Better.
What were we?
Oh, I know what we were talking about.
No, we weren't.
If I am to die here, cold, alone, and disappointed, please don't let me down. Instead, pull back your hand and let me drown! I don't know what was happening in the movie when that part was on. That was a reaction to something.
So you just hyped that up as if that was relevant to what I was saying, when really the only connection was I said the word disappointment, and disappointment was in that poem.
Well, actually, there's a thing on here about beauty, too. That's what I was really going to, but I don't want to get out.
Yeah.
Oh. No. You want to find out what else?
Nope.
But we'll get there.
What you were saying is there was nothing special about the poems that this kid was producing that would make you want to throw your life away, but
she had no life.
Yeah.
She was kind of broken before the poems. She was looking for something to latch onto.
She's living like,
but that's just
a suburban, like, I want to say nightmare. There's nothing particularly nightmarish about it, except that it's so incredibly mediocre. And she's obviously yearning for some other greatness that she can't attain because she doesn't have the
talent. There's no reason why she can't.
Well, she doesn't have the talent in what she wants. She's not a great poet.
Well, she could develop that. She's like halfway into a semester of like one fucking poetry.
Yeah, one CE poetry class.
But is that something you can develop?
Yeah.
And
that's a skill, just like...
You know, you're always telling me drawing is just a skill that you can develop.
I know, I don't say it's just a skill.
But it's also a skill.
It is a skill you can develop.
She could have it better. It could be better than what it is.
The assumption is, first of all, that this is the only class of this nature she's ever taken when she's a full, like, grown-ass adult. But also, like, in any artistic... Anybody who chooses to try an artistic endeavor, you know that while some of it is a skill that you can hone, there is a measure of it that is innate talent.
But how quickly do you know that? Like, do you know that, like, in the first couple of months? Or do you keep doing it?
I think it depends on your passion for it and your drive to continue with it. If it's something
I don't get a good, like, you guys are talking like she literally just started this like yesterday, but I don't know why we would assume that when she's an adult woman. Like,
my sense with her was she had been a kindergarten teacher, she had her kids, all of that, and she like probably, you know, did elementary ed, which might or might not involve a poetry class, like a creative writing class, like it could very easily not. And then she like taught, had her kids, now her kids are in high school, she doesn't have anything to do, and she's finding herself, so she's taking a community college. Or it wasn't even community college,
it was CE.
I'm sorry?
It was CE.
Yeah. So it was like an extension sort of thing. So no, I think that it would be rational to think she's a complete beginner.
I don't think somebody with this passion for what she's doing would, like, she just woke up yesterday, like, interested in poetry.
But that's the thing. She doesn't have a cultivated passion. Passion isn't even just something that's, like, in you. It's something you develop and cultivate and make mature. And we don't see her reading. She doesn't read. She can only talk about culture in really vague, general ways. She can't even really articulate why his poems are good or bad. And she just wants culture. It's not even, like, about poetry. It's about, like, general culture that she can't fucking articulate when she lives in fucking Staten Island. And so I don't think she spent a lot of time cultivating a specific passion. I think she feels empty and longs for – it's not even about culture. It's about inspiration, a sense of life. And this boy becomes a muse for her in that way. But, like, it's not –
I would like a clearer picture of where she's at on this journey. I didn't get a good sense for where she was in the process of looking for something. They could have easily done a throwaway line about, you know, this is like the third time you've going to a different class. You know, is this the same as your
that's
your,
true.
Your pottery classes that's or true. Your painting or your where she's looking for something, but we don't get that sense. The only sense that I did have was that the class itself was an elementary class. Yeah. Was a beginner level poetry class, and it was creative writing class. Just because of the nature of the classroom environment, it just seemed like these were beginners, or these are people who are just wanting to start this journey. Whether this was the first class she's been in, or whether she just seeks out these classes, because if you have even a little bit of talent and you just go to the beginner class all the time at different places, you look like the star.
Yeah.
So, like, do teachers have the same CE requirements that, like, lawyers and doctors do and shit?
Yeah, but that's not going to fulfill it. It would have to be something about, it would have to be about teaching, like, yeah. So it would be about how to teach kindergartners to read, how to do whatever. It wouldn't be about, you can do it as, like, a writing poetry class.
Well, Maggie Gyllenhaal has crazy eyes. None of that is okay language. But this is very important. Art that lies is not beauty. We're on a journey, Tony.
You're a fucking mess.
I really wish I had worn my... I almost wore my, like, black turtleneck.
You wore that yesterday, didn't you?
I did. But that's what I thought in my head. I wore this yesterday, and people will say something, so I didn't.
You also didn't know you were in for the... poetry ride of your life.
This is some...
Yeah, Freya rolled up with a chariot pulled by cats. We all just got on. It's time to bring Ragnarok in. Freya doesn't bring Ragnarok in. This movie promotes sad poetry.
Go on, read that one.
No, I don't want to. This one's bad.
That one.
Oh. I kind of need to know what it is if that one's too bad
that's,
for you to
that's
read.
That's the bad one. This is our low bar. You've got to read it now. You're going to establish the low bar.
Nope. Time has passed.
All right. So something that, like, with a lack of... We're forced to fill in the blanks because we don't really get, like, any sort of information about her. Like, solid information. We have to infer everything. Or a lot.
Yeah, but, like, I don't feel like I need a lot of it.
Okay.
She's kind of a blank slate.
Yeah.
And if they would have taken more time to fill it in, that would have... I'm afraid that would have made excuses for her being so fucking creepy. And I don't want excuses. Yeah. I just want her to be punished.
Yeah.
Like, because this is bad. This is all very bad.
Yeah, I guess what I meant with that was, like, no, I liked that I could fill in the blanks. I liked that aspect. It felt like a really good short story in that way.
Yeah.
But what that then means is we have kind of a question of is she a long-term abuser, or is this just her crisis moment? Her sort of midlife crisis involves this preschool kid. And, you know, because part of me sort of looks at the way she teaches and the way she is with her kids, or in some ways, and thinks, okay, is she just have this, like, pattern of being with people in this way? But then if I make the assumption, and I know it's an assumption, that she's just now, like, having this empty moment where she's, like, getting into culture, we don't know what it is, you know, like, in a really vague way, and she's kind of empty, is, like... Was this, like, a crisis crazy thing she did? And then the fact that she, like, resumes, like, being a teacher at the end in an appropriate way. A sign that she...
I feel like she's in jail.
Came out of it.
No,
she's talking about in the moment when she's in the bathroom.
Yeah,
she's
in the bathroom.
Back to...
She tells him 911. She tells him what to say. And is that her take... And it could be her... At first I read it as her taking control of the situation when she lost control. So I read it as a control move in the beginning, but now I'm wondering if that means that she realized she hit rock bottom and she, like, resumed an appropriate relationship with the child.
I looked at it more that she tended to avoid conflict.
Okay.
And specifically I'm thinking of the moment when she confronts her daughter who's hanging out with that boy against the fence and he's smoking a joint and like she's like, is this really gonna happen here? And her daughter just like gets up into her face and yeah. like and her but her immediate reaction is not to escalate.
Yeah.
She immediately de-escalated back down. She's like, you're right, you do this, I'm gonna go now. Like it was just like that was the weirdest non-parental thing. Like no, you're leaving. like her reaction to that moment was just so weird and non-confrontational. Like she was she was prepared to be in control and in authority, but as soon as there was resistance to it, it was just like, all right, I'm backing down. Like yeah. backing down, de-escalating, and turning it into a teaching moment, which is kind of what she does at the end too.
Yeah.
She's leaning into this and she knows like how weird and fucked up it is.
Yeah.
Because as soon as she hears that click, she knows something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And like she jumps too. And like you can see on her face, she knows like, oh mm-hmm. shit. The shit has yeah. just gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to dial the phone, and then she's like, "No, here's you need to call 911 if you want to reach them. Here, tell them this address and tell them this is where you're at." Like, it's not about the conflict anymore. It's now about we're gonna turn this into a teaching moment.
Yeah,
it's a very weird reaction to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it, and maybe that fits still with the parallel with the other scene of her having a fantasy of what was going on between the two of them and what they do. Like, they're going to cross the border. Let's go to Canada and write some poetry yeah. and publish a poetry book. Yeah. Like, Jesus.
I'm going to get a motorcycle. It's going to have a sidecar. And you're going to have, like, tiny aviator glasses. And it's going to be, we're going to be fucking outlaw poets. Only you'll be the poet and I'll just be driving.
Yeah.
I'll be the outlaw.
And so, like, I don't know, but she, like, she had this, like, crazy fantasy, and then it, like, the minute, like, somebody, like, normative or objective was about to, like, puncture it, or he resisted,
because
he's never, like, I'm like, what is wrong with this kid? Like, is he on Benadryl? Like, he just, like, doesn't resist anything. He's so easy as a child.
But that's his teacher. What?
Maybe I just lack classroom management. I mean, to just like get a kid to do whatever.
I don't know.
Okay.
A kindergarten teacher, maybe. It's a kindergarten teacher who doesn't have a mother figure.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And that's. I mean, I think that plays part into it also. He's getting a lot of attention from a female figure.
And at that point, he's isolated too.
Right.
Like she keeps taking him away from the class.
Yeah.
She knows just when to approach him. Like, she's doing all the things that you are to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the children are on the playground and adults are talking to them through the fence, like, that's when you watch for it. That's when you watch for, like, the separated parents, because that's when they'll try to approach it. When they know they're outside, when they know they're available.
Where was the yard?
Like, that was another
teacher
school.
Or like, oh. I know, but I'm saying, who's watching the kids out in the yard?
Exactly.
You would have been watching for exactly this thing.
Right. But she knew when to watch for it.
Yeah. Like,
as the teacher, she knew when to approach, when to watch, when to approach.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, like, there's something else. Like, they didn't show this, but they could have easily shown another conflict or a child getting hurt.
Yeah.
And her seeing that and then just sliding right on in there. Because if a kid skins their knee, they're going
to... I think that would have established too well, like, a malicious intent. Whereas this was sort of like this, like, weird, fluid, like, true. I'm just going to walk up to the gate and this is totally normal, right? Like, just unlock it for me and we're doing the good thing. Not, like, I'm not being manipulative, even though I high-key am.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Well, I mean... yeah.
I mean, it's kind of miraculous she didn't, like, face any disciplinary action for taking the child, lying about where they were going, having him spend the night. Like, that whole scene was just like, what?
That whole scene was insane to me.
I think the father was super trusting because she came out to him and he automatically hires her.
Yeah.
He already had some almost child watching his kid anyway.
Yeah.
Like he was used to just like passing this responsibility on.
And he hired her. And then, so I don't know if he just respected her too much to call her principal. And he was just like, we're just going to change schools now.
Yeah.
There is nothing in this world that would have been able to stop me.
Oh, God, no. But I think there are some parents who don't feel, and they don't like, oh, were you about to say, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, not only did you take my kid to something I specifically, asked my permission and I told you no.
Right.
You took him there with, you lied to the person who was supposed to have him. Mm-hmm. You took him there without my permission. And then you kept him overnight. The police would have been called. I would have called the police that night. I don't know where my kid is. Like, it wouldn't have gotten to the next day. Like,
yeah. For considering this is an audio podcast, the whole time you're talking, I'm just nodding my head in very, very big gestures.
Like if somebody did this with Peach. Know where my dog is? Are you joking? Right. I'm calling ASPCA on you right now. You
and the FBI
right now. I don't know. I just felt like you might have taken my dog. Hold on.
Do we need to have these doors I crafted go nowhere? Why did I build this place?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Were there doors in the movie that literally, is this like a literal thing or
what are the doors?
Maybe this is
right.
Maybe this is why it's amazing poetry. Why did I build this place?
See, you were like, these kids' poems aren't even that good. But I can't really tell a difference between what was in the movie and what you're saying right now.
That's my point. That's kind of exactly my point. But nothing that you're hearing is inspiring you to throw your life away.
It doesn't take much. This woman's life is shitty.
Like, a normal person wouldn't just... Yeah. They're like... No matter how inspiring a thing is, you don't throw your life away. That's kind of why most people have lives, like, or else.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Also, she had many opportunities to make a different choice that wasn't completely insane.
She was just lacking so much self-awareness. Like, she spends all this time passing these poems off as hers and then just brings the kid to the poetry reading and is like, yeah, the kid wrote them. And the teacher, like, how do you expect people to react? Yeah,
like, I didn't understand what she expected out of that reaction after she banged that dude. Like,
yeah, she used these poems to get laid and then...
See, it does work.
Not on everyone.
Works for Maggie Gyllenhaal.
No, well. It works for Maggie Gyllenhaal's character in this movie.
I don't have one for this.
And then she gets sad when he announces that it's about that Anna is Meg. Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the look on her face was just crushed.
But then they don't really, like, I don't know. They kind she, like, goes and cries. I don't
know. Yeah, it's all so...
But there was no reason for her to ever think that it was about her or, like...
But the idea that she's not the center of his world.
Right, because everything is about her.
Please don't fuck up the children. Some of us have realized that's all we have left.
That's more just a plea
than poetry.
No, that's the whole thing.
This might be about the point where she abducts him.
That wasn't a poem. That was more just a note. Just a general note to everyone.
No, please don't fuck up the children. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, what's he going to do? Be upset that she banged him? I don't know. Just so weird.
Like, I didn't get him the impression he was upset about that.
No.
But, I don't know, you would feel some type of way. Yeah, like, this person that really you felt all these, like, strong feelings of attraction to and... Like, the number one reason. He said he'd hardly even noticed her before she said that poem. So, like, it's not like he saw her and he was like, I'm gonna bang that.
Yeah. I don't even know if it was about the banging as much as it was about, like, we were in a classroom community and you passed off work.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it's not like, about the bank.
Your
yeah,
academic dishonesty is
yeah, and I,
too
and,
much.
Which is part of why they probably had to, like, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it was just really weird. And just kind of like, are you crazy? I think it's, it, and maybe it is about the banging in the sense of like, did I bang? Did I stick it in crazy? Like, did I stick? Yeah. Because to bring a young child to an event like that. Yeah. That, and then the
and then
whole
find situ- out that you've been.
Yeah. passing off a kid's poems. Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm sorry you see it that way.
Yeah.
How else am I supposed to see it?
Yeah.
There's beauty in child abduction. I'm just sorry you can't see it.
I hadn't been any... Well, yeah, he had been abducted at that point.
Just he'd been abduction.
Yeah,
light
was,
abduction.
That was the minor abduction.
That was the precursor abduction that should have tipped everybody off to the big abduction.
For real. How do you do that and like keep your job as a kindergarten teacher?
Especially like... What, yeah. We had to switch schools... Because at the last school, the teacher abducted my child, but also she's able to abduct the child again from the second school.
Because they have a lock on the gate that kids can unlock.
Yeah.
Which is also was... problematic in its own way.
That a
New York doesn't have cars.
Yeah, that a kindergartner could unlock is just ridiculous.
Kids are getting smarter all the time, Tony. You know, it worked for us.
Obviously some... not, because she told him how to do it. She was like... Push
lift it,
it
up.
Yeah.
Push
so it wasn't even like a lock then. It was just a latch.
Yeah.
Again, they should
yeah, there wasn't even really, yeah, there wasn't even really a lock.
So
on.
What I'm hearing is that this movie is an indictment of our educational system. Wow. The underfunding of schools. They can't even afford decent locks.
Were these private schools? I have to believe at least one of them was a private school. For him to change schools that quickly and easily.
Yeah. I mean, New York has a lot of charter schools. And I think they do have some choice schools.
Then again, it's also kindergarten.
Yeah.
Kindergarten, a lot of kindergarten is private.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because sometimes kindergarten's like right before first grade in some schools, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's like right at the end of a preschool.
It also depends on the districts involved. You can send your child to a private kindergarten and then push them into first grade the year after that, even if they're not, if they haven't aged into the range of first grade.
Okay.
That can be done in some areas. Because we actually looked into it for Holden because he's like 10 days from the cutoff.
Uh-huh.
We made the right choice by just letting him, he's like one of the oldest ones in his class.
Yeah, he'll be able to buy porn before everybody else. That's a valuable commodity.
Buying porn?
I mean...
It was a thing that happened before.
Yeah,
yeah.
It used to be.
It was a thing that happened in the before times.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know why that's so emphatic.
Kayla, are you getting a clearer sense for what you felt about this?
No. Not at all.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out if there were... Because I'm trying to make sense of... And part of me, like, there seems to be so many, like, points where adults drop the ball. I'm trying not to analyze it from a realism point of view and just analyze it from a what's the film doing point of view. But at the same time, this dad. And part of me wonders if, like, maybe as, you know, they're sort of portrayed. I can't remember their accents, but I think they are portrayed as immigrants and not native English speakers, maybe.
The first dude sounded Indian, the second dude sounded like he had a Hispanic accent.
The brother definitely, like... yeah, sounded Indian. But I was wondering if, like, they were making some statement about, like, him not feeling, like, A, kind of not caring, but also not feeling fully empowered in some way or another, like, vis-a-vis the school system, because she sort of, like, the way she deals with him and the babysitter is, like, way too expert for a teacher to be, like... I'm the expert on your child way of dealing. And
is that not how that works?
I feel like that's inappropriate, but I also don't teach elementary school where I'm with kids, the same kids all day. So that is kind of a different, that's true. It's a different dynamic. If you're with somebody's kids 6 hours a day, you can say some things about the kids, and I'm not with, thank God, any of my kids 6 hours a day.
Your kid's a fucking monster.
And so.
The other kids hate him because he's a dick.
Well,
you've raised a dick.
But you also have to take, if you're with a kid for 6 hours a day, you have to take some responsibility for that. But
not in my America.
But I'm trying to figure out why the father might not have.
We'll find out what happened to the mom. She die?
Nasty custody thing.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And I can't remember where she lived, but it was somewhere else.
This movie's a remake.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of an Israeli.
I was just looking to see if there was any trivia. That's the only trivia that I found on IMDb.
The original was with Gal Gadot.
Are you serious?
No, I wasn't. No, no, I'm not serious at all. But I would have watched it, especially if she wore the Wonder Woman outfit the entire time.
She just walks in, hair flowing around her, kicks down the gate, snatches the kid, jumps over the building. That would make things completely different.
Yeah, that somehow feels like it would have been okay.
Yeah, right. She's not a teacher at all. She's just Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman needs your kid for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, it does reframe the entire context of the movie, because now the dad's the asshole.
Yeah, right?
I mean, for the almost born, the neglect that he shows the kid already.
What are you thinking?
I was thinking about what you just said about the dad. I mean, he seems to be, busy with his work. I don't know if I'd call him neglectful. He is making decisions in his best interest. Like, he fires the babysitter the first time he hears anything that she's, not on the ball. He says, no, he can't go to this poetry thing because he does baseball, and I feel like it's important for him to have a normal life. I don't think I call him neglectful. He's just also really centered on work.
Yeah.
Which, he runs a club? Was that?
That was the scene.
He seems very detached, but
I did not understand what was happening when we entered that scene. I was like, she's in a club.
She's in the club. She
just banged that dude. So I thought she was having a sexual awakening.
Right.
That's where I was hoping the movie was going.
She was sitting on the couch. She's like, are you into girls? And she's like, sometimes. Or something. I don't know. It was so flimsy. Yeah,
not always.
Yeah. I was like, oh, where's this going? But then when nowhere good.
I didn't.
No, then she abducted a child.
It was so non-committal. Occasionally. Is she...
That was just to turn him on.
Yeah, I didn't get that as non-committal.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's No, it is non-committal. Occasionally, she's not saying that she's bisexual or something. She's just saying a thing that might sound, but she's not even into it. She's not I'm super into girls. She's just sounds like a thing that'll turn him on.
Yeah.
See, but she's not even fully committed to that.
That's not even what I thought of it. I just thought of it as not so much that I won't bang you. Not so much that I also don't like the dick.
But there is absolutely no other indication in the movie that she has any sort of
But what he knows of her is her poem about Anna, and this longing for a person called Anna.
But I didn't really feel like the poem conveys a longing. It's just saying Anna is beautiful,
right.
Which that doesn't seem that I don't know. That doesn't convey to me lesbian.
Isn't that the one where it ends with, God doesn't want something, something?
The sun hits her yellow house.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a message from God.
Mm.
It's a four-line poem.
I mean, I think he just wanted to, he was just trying to fuck and was, getting into her...
So you had this poem about a chick. Do you like girls?
Yeah.
And she answered in a really weird way.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Her answer is non-committal, because it's I don't get a sense that she is into girls, but she does really like attention.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
She also has to maintain this illusion that she's the one that wrote this poem about a girl being beautiful. So on the spot, how do you react to that?
Does she have to maintain the illusion? Because she pretty quickly destroys the illusion.
She's about to get banged, though.
But the illusion needs to stand.
The illusion means, I get dicked.
I do not remember who she is trying to fuck in this scene.
The teacher.
The teacher.
I don't even think she'd want...
Which teacher?
I don't even think she's actively trying to get Dig. I think she's just...
Attention.
Trying to get, like, for lack of a better word, attention. Like...
No, that's the perfect word.
Because he's like, you'll be the center... Like, he literally says it. Yes. You'll be a center of attention. And she starts... That's, like, one of the first times in the movie, like, where she starts giggling and stuff. And she's, like, all bashful. And, like, all the rest of it, she seems super airy. And, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think that's one of the big, like, problems in this movie is understanding what her motivations were.
Yeah.
In taking him to the poetry reading. Because she's going to essentially out herself for academic dishonesty. So she'll get attention, but not, like, in a positive way. People aren't going to adore her more. She thinks they will, but she, like, we need to, like, figure out, like, how she got there logically. Because that makes zero sense.
Yeah, but there's also this recurrent theme in the movie that she doesn't want to happen to him what's happened to her.
Okay.
And, like, she sees in his life that all these people who are neglecting him aren't nurturing this font of culture that she sees in him, right? So I think the motivation to take him to the poetry slam is that the world will finally understand this great font of culture I found, and he's gonna spew culture all over the first three rows. And everywhere is just gonna shit themselves with how cultured we all are now. But, like, no, everyone's like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because to me, if she wanted to do that, why didn't she just find a good way to stay in his life longer, i.e. not creep his parents out?
Because she's getting older.
Okay.
Like,
she's
this is
feeling her, yeah.
This is why I think the final scenes of the movie, this is what I think the final scenes of the movie actually are all about. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she comes to any grand whatever. Like, she pretty clearly tells him, she's like, yeah, I was taking you away so that you wouldn't get lost in the shuffle like I did.
Yeah.
But now I've made things worse because this was the dumbest way to do exactly the thing that is probably going to happen to you now.
Yeah.
That's why I think she tells him, call 911, this is what you need to tell the people. Like, in her own weird, perverse way, she's still looking out for his best interest. Only she realizes, oh wait, I'm not this kid's best interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's quite dumb.
Yeah, she constantly sees herself as looking out for this kid's best interest. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
She does. She does. Just the more I think about the ending...
The more you want to hear another one of these poems.
Yeah,
I'm right there.
So I can finish.
Yeah. So what
formulating
poem did
you
write during the ending?
Let's hear another one.
Art does not belong to the highest bidder. The highest price paid is death. The coldest gold is blood. That was one of the two last ones.
That doesn't make sense.
Nope. I was tired and drunk. And I wanted this movie to end. Because it was at this point in the movie, she's now naked in this hotel room with this kid she's abducted. Wasn't quite sure where this was gonna go.
Oh, yeah, she's locked in the bathroom. Yeah.
And then she's like, I want to get my clothes, but you went into the bathroom with clothes on, so why wouldn't you
just
put clothes on? Put the clothes you were wearing
on. That's right, she did.
I mean, but also, why did you abduct this child?
Yeah.
Okay, is it too much to be also, why is there a lock on the outside of the bathroom fucking door?
I also thought that, but sometimes you need to lock someone in.
A hotel motel.
A bungalow bathroom.
That's exactly like... in moments like this. they call it their, like, kidnapping lock.
Well, she got the kidnapping suite.
That way the kid can save themselves in the end. I actually figured out what the lock on my, like, speaking of which, bathroom door is about. I don't know. So one of the creepy things in my house, you remember this?
I remember it because I had ideas, but...
Is that there's one of those chain things on, like, outside the bathroom door.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
And it always creeped me out because I was like, who the fuck, like, why would you have a lock on the outside? And then I realized, oh, it's for little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that they don't, like, wander in and...
Because there were some other creepy locks like that in the basement, too, weren't there?
In your murder room?
Also, yeah, but that... for when you've been kidnapped.
Well, yeah.
And you need to lock somebody in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Your kidnapper.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly that.
Yeah.
In your own house.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I thought it was, like... What hotel room has a lock on the outside of the bathroom door? That was so weird to me.
Yeah.
That is very weird.
It was very convenient for the story.
Yeah. No, it made zero sense.
They could have had him, but he's so little. I can't, like, really push something up against it.
Right.
Nothing that would physically block her from...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Also, the door opened in.
He could have left.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But they still needed that moment where she tells him how to call the police.
Yeah. That, like, sort of, like...
Which, honestly, moment. I didn't understand why he didn't know to call 911.
Listen.
Like, at 5 years old, if he's that smart, he should be able to call
911. Poetry. Prodigy. Not numbers. Words.
I mean, if he was that good at not being kidnapped, he wouldn't have been kidnapped to begin with. So, like, I don't know. Maybe he's just very... maybe he got stage fright. Like... didn't know. Like when you get to the actual part of the kidnapping where you have to call for help, like maybe he just fumbled his line a little.
I don't think he realized that he was kidnapped until she talked about crossing the border.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I mean, why would he? Up until that point, because it was just my favorite teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but even at that point though, we're gonna cross the border. I mean, all right, we've already been on this weird fucking trip so far. Like,
would he understand the implications of going to Canada? Like,
I think he put, like, different things together. Because, I mean, he is five, and he's smart. And...
is he?
Is he smart?
We don't ever really see any indication of that.
Yeah. I mean, his verbal skills are pretty good. Are decent.
I know a lot of people who can talk that...
But, I mean,
would you like to hear another?
His verbal skills are decent.
I see.
So, I mean, I could see him putting together, because kids know when things are off and not the way they're supposed to be, especially when it, like, has to do with, like, going home to mommy and daddy.
To daddy.
Or daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because he was sort of like, when are we going home? Oh, whenever we want to. And it's like, well, that's not a normal answer to ever give a kid. Like, when we want to.
Is it not?
So, another weird thing about the ending is that, like, I almost expected, like, after the fact, after seeing how it resolved, I didn't know how it was going to resolve, and, like, I didn't see that it would just kind of end the way it did. Because the ending of the movie actually feels like kind of a deflation of a balloon instead of a pop. Like, there's, like, it's just like, it's over. Like, I didn't feel like there was a decent resolution. I feel like a short story version of this would have had, instead of having him call the police, having him call 911, would be to have him call the media.
Yeah.
Because if her goal is to make sure that he gets seen.
Uh-huh.
To make sure that he's not just lost in the crowd. Uh-huh. And also that gets her attention and gets her that something more.
Yeah.
I mean, right now the something more is just that she's going to be arrested and she's going to lose her job and probably her family. And like, you can see the cascade of things that she's going to lose out of this.
Uh-huh. Is she going to? Because nobody seems to care.
No one seems to care and her husband doesn't give a shit.
Well, she's going to... I mean, she's going to be arrested.
Yeah.
So she's going to lose her job.
Total empty, like...
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know.
That guy sold used panties in...
Yes, he did.
Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
A mail order used panties.
Who amongst us hasn't done that?
Listen.
When you live in a glass house...
It's hard out there for a bitch, all right?
Yeah, it just... It would have felt like more of a resolution. Like and it would have felt... But then again, it would have also felt like an accomplishment for her.
Yeah.
What, getting rid of her shitty husband?
No, being noticed.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like, by the media for the kidnapping and for... She wanted... it was about her. It was about her ego and about being noticed. I mean, that was clear throughout.
Well, I guess if you can't be a good person, just in general, run for president.
I have a poem.
Do you go?
No, that was the last line of the movie.
Oh. Yeah.
He was trained to let people know when he had a poem.
Mm-hmm. I got real.
She's the only one who cares.
Right.
Yeah.
That kid is going to be seriously fucked up over this.
Yeah, but he'll be a tortured artist.
Kindergarten teacher?
Maybe.
Math.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, like, when stuff like... Because what I like is he wasn't powerless in the situation. He took control of the situation.
Yeah.
And got himself out of it. So in some ways, like, if trauma is fundamentally about having no power...
And realistically, nothing bad happened to him.
No.
He went swimming.
Yeah.
He went swimming. Got to read his poems in front of people.
I mean, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Heard that woman before him talking about her pussy.
Listen, you might as well learn now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're ascribing all of this, like, completely to her ego. When it's not like there isn't a portion of it that was about the kid. Because she kept comparing him to, like, Mozart.
Right.
So, like, if you had that feeling, as a teacher specifically, that, like, you had this child who was so gifted. Like, the way she goes about it is obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a portion of this that is about him and his talent. And I think that's what the point in the very last scene is.
Yeah.
I have a poem. Okay, well, now there's nobody around. Yeah. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah. But I think that is so small in that. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Who is she to even nurture that talent? I mean, we have, like, no hint that she can... write poetry. Well, we know she can't write poetry. She doesn't even really read poetry. She has, like, no favorite author. Like, we don't have any sense that she's, like...
She makes a couple literary, like, references in the movie.
Oh, that's true. She does. But, I mean, they're also, like...
But she couldn't even hear that her poetry... I think she had a sense of it, that her poetry wasn't as good. But she still felt the need to bring it up to the teacher and have her work stand against the little boy's work by comparison. So,
hold on, what are you getting at here?
That she, I don't think she was the right person to nurture.
Okay, yeah. All right, that all she, right. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That she should have facilitated someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the right play would have been finding someone who...
But she was trying to. She was trying to get her... like, the other adults in his life to be interested and active in this, and nobody else was interested.
Well,
nobody else cared.
I don't know that she was trying to do that necessarily, because she basically was saying, write down his poems and bring them to me. I don't know that, I mean, because the right move would have been, let's make sure he gets into a gifted program for first grade.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, not, and that he gets into, like, a fine arts focused school or whatever. And that he continues to, like, read and gets exposed to lots of things. Like, not that he, like, joined the New York poetry scene.
No, I'm definitely not saying she went about it the right way.
Oh, no. Like, no, but like, I'm saying the thing is that, like, yes, I think that, like, you're right. In that last moment, we find out that there was something incredible about this boy, and that was real. And well, she was the only one who saw it.
There's, like, a weird time component to it. Like, mm-hmm. This is an immediate thing we have to do right this second. He's, like, six.
Yeah.
We got
her urgency. Time. Her urgency toward it was a bigger problem.
I'm saying that, like, it's these two things, but we've only been concentrating on her narcissism. Yeah. We haven't been concentrating on the fact that, like, it is a real thing that this kid was talented. And she goes about everything the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the way she goes about it is narcissistic because she's being so adamant about it because she wants to be, like, she wants on this kid's coattails.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think we see that it is about his talent. And I think that's the value of having her present it to her classroom and then have her present her own poetry to the classroom so that, because to me, it all just sounds like poetry, like it all just sounds like crappy poetry to me. And to have someone who, by being an educator who is supposed to know about it telling me this is good poetry and this is not good poetry. It's like, all right, well, you're saying in the universe of this movie that someone who is educated in this knows what they're talking about. So therefore this boy who is very young, who's using concepts and language and grammatical structure that he shouldn't have access to. I mean, he knows it by being a human who speaks, but like some of the concepts.
Pray those, God.
Yeah.
That was what got me.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's like, fuck. Yeah. Like, are we gonna learn that this kid's been like listening to podcasts or something? Yeah. Like what?
I thought that's what they were alluding to when she goes into that meeting with the teacher and he's like, oh, we were just listening to poetry written by a computer. Yeah. I thought that's where it was going to. This sort of like, not poking fun at, but.
Yeah.
Like the, like more of a discussion on the subjective nature of mm-hmm. these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they spend so much time in the classroom, like jerking off over these hot new poems. Hot new poems.
Yeah.
Like how good they are.
Right here.
When, and then they, you know, they bring the conversation to like computer generated poems.
Mm-hmm.
I just read a tweet where they like fed the computer. Who is it? Who wrote Hamilton?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It was, or maybe it was like the script from Hamilton. And then it like spit out some prose. It was like really good. So like it's just an interesting study on like subjectivity. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Are you trying to tell me it was better than my poetry?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's what she's saying.
Gulp.
Yeah. Well, I'm going home.
I'm saying that's why, like, that's why poems make me so, like, uncomfortable. Because,
no,
like,
here's what's going to make you uncomfortable.
Who is to say?
I have a 5-year-old boy in my trunk right now who wrote all of this.
That would make me intensely uncomfortable.
Yeah. He's been missing for 3 weeks.
You
and
are,
it's getting cold out there.
You are a 30-year-old Hispanic man. You cannot have this. Cannot do this.
I'm
you
30.
Are no Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I'm 35.
Well, I wasn't going to expose you like that, but...
Cut me open and count the rings. Here's some poetry for you. I'm like a tree is what I'm saying.
I'm like a tree.
Strong oak.
I also did think it was interesting. We kind of alluded to it earlier that the reaction to the fact that she was a teacher and female and it was a male student, everyone was a lot more okay with how things went down than if it was a male in a position of power with a female student. Like there would I think there would have been a far more immediate and visceral reaction to a lot of the scenarios that happen.
I mean, absolutely, but
it doesn't make it any less wrong.
I mean, but they're like our reaction that culturally is like trauma induced, for lack of a better, like historically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a learned behavior,
right?
Like because this is where shit goes bad. It's like one of those warning signs you see pretty early on, and you're like,
But the thing is, like her concrete actions are all very dangerous and like all deeply unsafe.
Like when he, like when she took, I can't imagine a woman coming to pick up a boy met with a male teacher who said, no, she's not going to that thing or picking up a male teacher, a mom of another child coming to pick up a little girl. For ballet class, let's say. No. I talked to her mom. She's gonna stay here. It's fine. I got this.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick her up. It's fine. I can't imagine that mom not calling and checking and making sure everything's fine.
Why does it have to be ballet? Why couldn't it be baseball, Tony?
It could have been baseball. Could have been baseball.
But
I'm just saying the situation would have gone down completely differently.
Yeah, yeah.
And there would have been probably within 15 minutes, police there.
I don't think it would have been escalated like that.
I absolutely do.
Yeah, I actually think.
If you showed up to a school with your kid's male kindergarten teacher, and he was like, oh, well, I talked to his parents. she's been feeling under the weather, so she's not going to baseball practice with you. I don't think that's an automatic escalation to police being called.
I think it's an automatic escalation to checking with the parents.
Yeah, and when the parents, like, not leaving physically.
Yeah.
Like, whether it was male or female, honestly, if I were to pick up a small child, like, and their parents told me this, and the teacher's like, oh, I'm keeping this kid, then I would immediately be texting parents to be like, what the hell's going on? I would not physically leave the room until...
Yeah.
Because that's just deeply unsafe.
I don't think that's everybody's instinct.
No.
Yeah, but you know, but when you think about...
Like, I absolutely don't think that's everybody's instinct.
Protocol,
it's probably not everybody's
but
instinct.
But when you think about think the protocol of how schools work and how, like, daycares work, especially with really young children, and rules are about who goes home with whom, like, that is a really weird red flag. And so that, like... To me,
in an ideal world, you guys are absolutely right. But when we're talking about, like, real adults, I got dropped off at a daycare with nobody there.
Yeah, but that, like, was how long when? Ago?
What do you mean?
That was how long ago?
Yeah, like 25 years ago.
Things are different now.
No, not 25 years ago. I was like 10.
Things are different.
It's not that people aren't that different. Like,
in New York.
I know, but the weird thing is, okay, so I show up there. I'm supposed to pick up this kid. The teacher's like, oh, they're not feeling well. Just keep them here. What do you mean, just keep them here? I'm supposed to pick the fucking kid up.
And like, why would
that was a weird excuse anyway. Because if a kid's not feeling weird, protocol is get them the fuck out.
Yeah.
Get them away from
the rest of the children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also after the day is over.
Yeah, but like, you don't want them, like, spewing all over the tables and...
I mean, it doesn't say he's been throwing up. It just says he doesn't feel well enough to go to baseball practice.
I know, but like...
then you don't hang out with the teacher.
Yeah.
You, like...
Because a lot of times those arranged baseball practice rides, like, is a switch-off thing between the parents to, like, move this passel of children from one place to
another.
But
that's not the case with this. Like, this dude is always working and... He's always having other adults, like, handing his kids off to each other. So, like, I don't get the feeling that he's terribly... He doesn't even know that the babysitter's been late to, like, to come get him. He's not as in touch as you guys are, like, making it sound like he would be.
I'm not talking about a parent. I'm talking about the person who's, like, coming to pick up the kid.
But I'm saying that all these adults who are involved with taking care of this kid, they are used to dealing with this dad who is really hands-off. So, like... Like, it isn't out of my imagination that they would just be like, okay they're all used to, like, relying on each other for this dude.
Yeah, and maybe so. And it's a whole dynamic. I mean, in some ways, like, I feel like in the world of the story, in real life, if she were a male kindergarten teacher, teachers anyway have to, like, earn the trust of, like, their parent, you know, and the kids. And he would have found ways around earning that. And getting it, and especially if he were an abuser, he would be really good at earning it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would make that work. Like, I think you're right in that way. But as viewers, the fact that we can, like, stay in our seats while all this happens maybe is, like, points to what you're talking about, that she's a woman.
Was the previous caretaker that kid, like, was she actually late, or is that just some shit... Maggie made up.
She was slightly late often. Yeah.
Okay, regardless of the fact, the dad was obviously not on top of it because he heard about it, like, just in passing and was like, oh, okay. That girl's out. You're in new person and we'll find maybe another person to take care of him too.
I mean, but also to be fair, you're in new person. I have met for the first time 10 minutes ago.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He isn't attentive.
Okay, all right then. All right, we're on the same page then.
Are we?
I said neglect earlier and you told me it was too much.
Yeah, I don't know, like, he's focusing on his job. I guess with all of that, it does seem neglectful. Like, he is relying on a bunch of other adults to take care of his kid, like, even this other parent.
There's a point where it's relying on other people to help or relying on them to do it.
I mean,
I get the sense from what we were presented in the movie that he was relying on other people to take care of his child instead of relying on other people to help him take care of his child.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get the sense that he was involved with it.
Yeah.
He had money that he could throw at the problem. That's kind of how it felt. Even when she showed up and she's like, hey, do you realize the you know, your brother, and, you know, he's a writer, and he's like, what?
Yeah, she says his name even, and he does.
He's like, I don't want my son to live like that.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he'll only make $50,000 a year, and he'll be worthless.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that specifically, but that's just kind of the general impression he has. It's like,
I want him to have a comfortable life. I want him to have a normal life.
I want him to be well paid.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be satisfied in what he's doing. I want him to be paid well.
I mean, sort of speaking to her getting a pass, like, as a woman, what shocked me, because I don't feel like I gave her a pass. Like, I felt like I was, like, on prickles the minute I saw her in the classroom. Which is interesting because a lot of the reviews I read suggested that, like, and I think, yeah, pretty much every review I read, like 6 or 7, written by a man, said her, like, sort of seemed to think of her as, like, a mixed character. Like, somehow she was, her intentions are good. She was trying to do the right thing, but she just went about it the wrong way, you know, and like, really, like, gave her a lot more benefit of the doubt, like, didn't think of her as essentially, like, an abuser or a manipulator or somebody who was engaging in grooming activities.
I saw that pretty early on. It was only after the movie.
Yeah.
Like, because in the moment, it's like, all of these things just kind of stand out. It's like, boy, she's pulling him away from the class to talk to him. She's making him the center of attention for things that is weird for his age. Instead of focusing on grooming the, like, and enriching the poetry, she's focused on separating him. Mm-hmm. Pulling him out of the group and focusing just on him to the neglect of the other kids.
Do you remember when we watched the Mads Mikkelsen movie where he was the teacher and then he was accused of raping the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking about that
when
I was
watching. And he didn't do it.
Right.
But the entire movie, you're like, oh shit. When is the reveal coming that he actually did this thing? Although he never actually had done it.
That was also the movie you were drunk through, that you passed out through the middle half of.
I know. I remember that now. So, like, in the movie where he did not do it, I just assumed the entire time that he had done it. And in this movie, I just assumed it was never going to go anywhere sexual.
Well, because this is also a really small kid. I mean, I don't know what that means. Well, I feel like that's really heavy for a Netflix movie, for it to go sexual with a really small kid. I think that's specifically why they made it such a small child and didn't have it be, like, a kid in junior high, because it sort of removed, like, sexuality from the situation. It's obsession.
What's interesting, though, is the way the movie sexualized her.
Yeah.
Like, showing her with...
Are we back to her breasts again?
But, you know,
I'm going to bring it around to Maggie's breasts all the time. The way it showed her topless at the end, the way it showed her in a see-through bra a couple of times through the movie, for no real good reason.
Yeah.
Like, there was no real good reason to show her that way.
I mean, the one time where they were, like, interrupted about to have sex, that didn't make sense. Because it showed her, like, her lack of focus on her family. Yeah. And her relationship with her obsession with this kid.
Yeah.
And I think they did want to definitely frame this as a seduction.
Yes.
And that was part of why you have the parallel relationship with her teacher. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it was important that they were having sex when she pulled away.
Mm-hmm. That was Office Floor Cunnilingus, I believe was the name of that poem.
Okay. And,
Words are important, everybody.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's definitely a seduction, but it's like, the only reason I didn't expect it to go sexual was because that's just super heavy.
So it was a meta, expectation.
Yeah.
So it was not an actual expectation.
Yeah, it was an expectation based on, like, what I knew the movie was and like where I was seeing it and the fact that I hadn't heard a lot of hoopla about it.
Did you Wikipedia this movie before you watched it?
No, I didn't. But I think that if there were a movie about someone like sexually abusing a really small child, as opposed to like...
Especially a female teacher.
Yeah.
A young male student.
And even the other way around, if a kid that little, it's not like a teenage type situation,
I feel like you're kind of making my point though.
Yeah.
You might, because like you say, if there had been a movie about a female teacher sexually abusing a child, I would have heard about it. Like that is kind of also the point, right?
My point isn't so much the emphasis on the female, but on the youth of the child.
Hmm.
I feel like had it been like what was her name, Mary, whoever, Letourneau, situation, I feel like, yeah, you know, and this had been an older kid, that would have been, yeah, sure, that's Netflix movie material, but not this young, because that's really upsetting. That's
me and Mrs. Browning.
I was more concerned that it was going to go that way.
Oh, really?
I didn't focus on the fact that it was a Netflix movie and they tend to be fairly light fare. The Netflix,
I didn't even think about that at all.
So, like when she's actively abducting the child and taking him swimming in the lake, it was like, oh no, what's happening? And then I rewound because I was like, because I wasn't focused on the screen when it started, so I rewound and was like, oh wait, no, they're at a lake and there's other people here. They're because the way and they
they're fairly
shot
far
it,
apart
they're fairly far apart, but the way they shot it, you didn't see other people when they were splashing around in the water. They shot it in such a way that you didn't see anyone else around, but when I backed up, like there were other people on the beach, there were other people there. So it was like, all right, well, that good. Nothing's gonna happen here. Then they go back to the hotel room and I'm like, oh Jesus. Like, and she's telling him to go get in the shower, and it's like I was legitimately concerned that because I didn't want it to go there, and I'm glad that it didn't, because it showed that you can still have that seduction and that control over the situation without it being explicitly sexual.
Mm-hmm.
I think to get back to your point about, I think that's a really interesting point you're talking about. Pulling up reviews and especially male reviewers saying that they didn't see her as abusive and she wasn't malicious. Like, I think that's a really interesting point about how people see abuse and manipulation. Like, because I don't see her as malicious either, but that doesn't mean what she's doing isn't abusive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such a big conversation
to have
because there are so many people who don't understand that.
Right.
And I mean, the thing is, like, I kind of wanted to pull out my copy of Lolita because I feel like the guy who, what's his name? Humperdinck.
Yeah.
Who, like, the guy in Lolita, I mean, he's not malicious either.
Right.
Like, he finds himself helpful. Like, he's thinks of himself as, like, helping her and supporting her. And I did wonder if, I didn't think it was going to go there while the boy was little. I wondered if it was going to wind up being some kind of like long-term emotional seduction, and that there might be a time jump to where he's like graduating from high school and they're together or something.
Yeah.
That
thought had crossed my mind.
Yeah.
It's like, this is step one.
Yeah. Yeah. And
step one is cut a hole in the box, isn't it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that is step one.
Yeah, it's a three-step plan.
But no, I really like the idea of like playing with emotional abuse, seduction,
intent.
Yeah.
I would be curious to understand the demographics of those reviewers too, because I wonder about myself in that I look at it from the perspective of being a parent.
Yeah.
And you looked at it from the perspective of being a teacher.
Yeah, because she's checking the boxes of everything and anything that you would ever go to.
Right.
Telling you this is what should not happen.
Yeah, these are the things these are the things you teach your kids to watch out for from strangers.
And so, I mean, it would make me curious, the demographics in terms of their experience.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but...
I think Kayla's right that it you could easily have a much larger discussion about abuse and intent.
Uh-huh.
because I looking at things through her eyes, I think she had pure intent, but she also had the tools available to her to make the abuse a lot easier.
Yeah.
And she, like, she knew the right ways to do it because she knew what you're, knows what you should look for and mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. She knows that, oh, an abuser, and it's not that it that it's that she would do this consciously, but she knows that you separate your target, you keep them aside, you make them feel good about themselves, you
all those other things them. Tony oh. does.
Get a white van.
The wit Evan.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it sounds like you're fairly conscientious about thinking about those things with your kids and talking with them. Something that really surprised me, because I've done this now every year with my advisory class, just because there were some issues at a school I was at once around abuse, where I sort of have discussions and sort of say, no adult should ever have secrets with you, ever. Okay, so there's like nothing that I do that you shouldn't be able to tell other adults about. There's nothing that any adult should be able to do or say to you. That, right. And I mean, this is like my third year. I mean, it's only 3 years teaching K through 12. Like none of my kids have ever been told that before. Mm. Ever.
Yeah.
By any parent. And like, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if people know to explicitly say it like that, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would know to word that to a child.
I was never told that either.
I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't. I was sort of told that, like, adults, this is things adults shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know that I've explicitly told that to my children.
Okay.
Not those words explicitly.
Okay. You know, I think my mom did tell me, like, adults shouldn't have secrets with you. Like, that's a bad thing. Like, adults shouldn't have secrets with you.
I think earlier when you were talking about going to daycare and it not being a weird thing, I think we said the world is different now, but maybe the world,
it's not.
The world isn't not. Different now. It's just that there's been a lot more publicized problems, and so parents are more proactive in different ways than they used to be.
There's more awareness of a lot of things.
There is probably a subset of the population of parents that is more proactive than their analogous subset 20 years ago would have been.
There were systems in place, and the adults knew better when that happened to me. And I'm it right. still happened. Like, yeah. Like my mom wasn't like not conscious of the dangers of the world. Like, even in little Guilford, Maine, like there were systems put in place that shouldn't have happened, and it just still did.
And I'm saying that the schools themselves now have more stringent processes.
I don't think you're right about that.
But you're also talking about a school bus situation, right? Was it a school bus?
Yeah, I was dropped off by a school bus, right. But I should never have gotten on that school bus.
Miss Frizzle strikes a fucking again.
Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
That bitch is crazy. You have got to avoid her. She has lost so many children. I do not know how they still let her teach.
Yeah. And for every process you have in place, there are going to be failures. It happens.
That's what I'm saying.
Hell, Holding got left at
the zoo.
That's what I'm saying.
Just a couple of years ago.
Is like,
they had shitty processes, but it happened. The difference was that it was a situation where he had the ability to step out and say something like how did you get on the bus?
Like, what you're asking me?
How did you get on the bus?
I mean, you said you should have never gotten on the bus, right?
With your legs.
There's a system of like bus passes and permissions.
Right.
For which days, because we had different scheduled days. Some days I went to Girl Scout. Some days I went to the daycare. Yeah. Some days I would have gone home to my mom.
Right. Mm. Okay. No, I didn't know the whole situation. So that's what that was. Yeah.
Like they were always really, I think more because the bus rides were so long that like if you put the kid on the wrong bus, like you just lose them for hours.
Right. Well, yeah. Like they were leaving the zoo. And they were at the gift shop, and they left, and they got on the bus. And he knew he was lost. He knew he was left there, but no one else did. And it was only when he went and said something, when he looked for help,
That anybody noticed.
That anybody even noticed. Because they called, they didn't notice he was gone until the zoo called the camp and said, hey, we have one of your campers here.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to the zoo.
You would think it's an easy thing when you get on the bus.
You would think.
Count the kids. Listen,
prisons have this down.
Take a roll call.
Yep. You would think.
Yeah.
And I know exactly how their system failed, and we made them change it. And, you know, people asked us, so aren't you worried about your kids going there anymore? No. No, I'm not. Because you know which two kids they'll never lose?
Yeah.
It's the masked kids.
Yeah.
It's not going to ever happen because, like, they even, like, during their training, they're like, yeah, so there are these kids that we always need to make sure get on the bus.
You can lose somebody else, but...
Here's what I'm hearing.
Lose my kid once. Shame on you. Lose my kid twice.
No, still shame on you. Stop losing
your
fucking kids. Yeah,
yes. Stop losing my fucking kids.
All I'm hearing is that they're not ready to go until they're full mast.
I don't know. Maybe the solution is we just need to microchip all the children.
Ooh, Alex will love Alex. This.
Just stop having children.
Microchip like, them. Put the vaccination inside the microchip.
Microchip them all. They've got like scheduled vaccinations inside the microchip. And then we can look on like Google Maps and we know at any time where any of the children are.
This sounds great. I love everything I'm hearing.
So, yeah.
Ooh, and we could just get tablets, like implant little thing, like cameras in their eyes, and then we just get tablets and we need to control and like mute things and like censor gore and stuff. I don't know why you're looking at me like that.
Take me back to Black Mirror.
I know what it is.
And I got it.
It'll be the abortion pill.
Sneak it into your...
Something.
Breakfast smoothie, was it? Something like that? Just taking care of everything. Having kids terrifies me, and I don't know what I would do if my kid just didn't... My five-year-old just didn't come home, and some strange woman...
How good is he at poetry? Your theoretical five-year-old...
Might be really good.
Might be, but you wouldn't know, would you?
Do I care? Yeah, I don't know. I spend all my day at the club.
But if he was, you'd know who to look for.
Who the fuck is stealing your kid's poetry? I've spun gold here. Don't call me David Stiltskin over here.
I won't.
Oh, I wish you would, because that's what I'm changing my name to legally.
God damn it. Ugh. I think I threw up my mouth a little bit on that one.
That's also in one of these poems.
I'm sorry you see it that way. Maggie. What the hell?
It's a classic abuse line.
Yeah.
We also spend a lot of time talking about like art fraud and theft, like in the communities I'm involved in. So like it's just like, how would you not know if you're in any sort of artistic community that this is like the most frowned upon thing to pass off other work as your own?
I mean, that's part of why I think she's not that invested. Like,
she's not
like
there.
Emotionally, she's like,
I mean, maybe
she's not like,
see, what? that kind of spits in the face of looking at what she did and saying that she was, that she didn't, like she did it with good intent. Like, because she knew that she was passing off somebody else's work. That's and with that, I mean, now that act alone isn't.
I mean, at first she's kind of doing it passively.
Yeah,
because she's just reading the poems. You don't see her like straight up pretending that it's hers. Like
she is because it's a class assignment, and they're each.
But she's just reading a poem in class, like.
She is, and I kind of got the impression from that she was reading it there not to take credit for the work, but to figure out if it was any good.
Okay. That's what I'm... Yes.
The first
that's
time.
Exactly how
the first time, yes.
Because then she comes clean when she has him show up to... Because there is zero risk of anyone ever finding out that the poets are not hers.
Yeah.
I think the first time she does it, I got that sense. The second time she did it...
That's, I mean, one time could have been a fluke.
But she did it three times. She did two of his poems, then she did hers as the third one to kind of test to see if this was a fluke.
Yeah, I don't think three times is
I agree.
An unreasonable amount of times to test to see if this kid is actually a prodigy. I don't know why her, you know, community college poetry CE professor is like the litmus test for genius poetry. But
why
you know,
keep calling it community college?
Because it's CE class.
No. You can have those at 4-year colleges, but
did you get the impression from that room that that was a 4-year college?
Okay, so this is the thing. Continuing ed can, like, happen through a community college or a 4-year college.
And they can also do satellite classes in high school.
Yeah.
I've taken satellite classes at O'Fallon High.
Wash U has in the them.
So high school to Wash U will average them down to a community college.
It was possibly, and I think it doesn't matter because it's still a continuing ed class for people who are interested, but they're not like.
Okay. Did you get the impression from the professor that that guy was a Nobel laureate?
No, but you don't need to be.
Yeah, no, you don't need to be, but.
I mean, I thought his pedagogy was messed up too, but I'm just like judging everybody.
So nothing's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He, you know, had, like, an accent and he was hot. He had a really big office, which is bigger than, like, most, like, professors.
It had to be big so he could fuck on the floor.
Yeah, with awesome windows. He probably was at a, I mean, that's a really nice office that he had.
So he could fuck on the floor.
Some funding. Yeah, like, fucking room.
Was it the leather room?
Well, the leather room's hidden. Like, that would be, like, that was behind his bookshelf.
True. So many corners of the room.
You slide the bookshelf to the side. And...
The Duchess. She rides her fucking horse.
Did you finish it, Kayla?
I haven't finished it.
Okay, yeah, so we need to...
So, I listened... Like, I listened to the first 3 seasons throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. And... finished like a month before the new season started.
Yeah.
So it's been a while
since I haven't had it.
Yeah.
So it's like I missed it. Like,
oh yeah.
Like after not getting a footnotes or the next episode, it's like I kind of miss not.
Yeah. Monday morning made me sad. I was like, oh my God, I have to go back to work after Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And also there is no Belinda Blinked for me.
Yeah.
What you guys need to do is you guys need to shed your attachments to this mortal world. And like when you don't see something, just immediately forget that it exists. Just remove your object permanence. If you're not currently experiencing the thing, it doesn't exist. I remember we do a podcast until next Wednesday. This will stay with you forever, though.
This said blue raspberry, but it tastes like coconut.
That's gross.
Ooh. It is gross.
That's like abducting a child.
Yeah, that's all. This is equally as bad.
Yeah, it's not worse.
It's worse. But then again, I would not even attempt the blue raspberry. So
I would abduct the child before I would eat.
Yeah.
That knowing it was
so
coconut.
Okay. I like coconut, so if I knew it tasted like coconut, I would have had it. But I would never touch blue raspberry. I would abduct a child before I would.
Neither one for me.
Wow, I am learning things.
Neither one for me.
This table.
Yeah, you're learning Tony lacks the commitment to do anything.
First, I would shoot a robot child. I would abduct a non-robot child.
And then
I would have a blue raspberry.
Then forcibly vaccinate.
Force a vaccination on a human child.
Robot child first.
Microchip it.
What about forcing a vaccination on a robot child?
They're already vaccinated.
How about shooting... Forcibly shooting a robot child with vaccinations in the face.
Isn't that what antivirus is? Kind of?
But I'm like, we're talking about like, you know, giving, like there's,
put it in a
there
gun.
Are levels of giving. Yeah, I'm saying like delivering
put it in a shotgun.
By, yeah. Yeah.
Put it in a double barrel shotgun.
Double barrel syringe gun.
The spread on that must be great. You just go into a classroom, just bam, just they're all done.
You have a classroom, Tony. What? Jesus fucking Christ. Too soon.
Syringes. Shoot the spray. Just get the whole room.
You think you think Luke and Kim were really on the ball with the Christmas cards this year?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, with Kim being laid up.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, 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 yeah.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Listen, there's only so many things you can do when you're recovering.
Getting those Christmas cards taken care of.
Yeah, get that shit out early.
Take care of that. We're like, I wonder if we're going to get some Christmas cards this year with all this Madrigal shit we're doing. I told Julie that we should just take a picture from Madrigals and just like impose on it, like superimpose on it. Just, this is what, we're too busy to make real Christmas cards. Here's your Christmas card. This is why we're too busy. She's like, maybe we just won't do them this year. But I don't want to get knocked off of people's Christmas card list because I like getting Christmas cards.
It's just a weird tradition.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Just...
I'm going to send you a Christmas card.
Oh, I get cards for fucking everything, so. A lot of cards.
This is a new thing for you to complain about. The amount of cards you
get. Yeah, the amount of people who love me. It's just fucking, it's fucking horrible.
So fucking, oh, God.
These fucking people. Ordinary fucking people.
Julie and I don't do cards between each other.
Why would you?
I'm not talking Christmas cards. I'm talking like birthday, anniversary, any of that.
I don't think Alex and I ever did cards between each other.
No.
No.
We did a few times, but like it got to the point where it was like real early on, it was like, do you want flowers? Because if you want flowers for your birthday and things like that, I'll get them for you. She's like, no, because they're just going to die. And they're also really expensive. And also, I'd rather have stuff.
I love flowers, and the more expensive, the better. And the sooner they die, the better.
I like to be reminded quickly about how fast beauty fades. Well, I did cards, but we always did like really inappropriate for the holidays cards, like bereavement cards, first communion cards.
Alex's little brother would always give us a Christmas card, but it would be like the most, like you said, the most inappropriate card. It would be like, congratulations on your new baby.
Congratulations on your bris.
I feel like that's less inappropriate.
I gave my sister-in-law a sympathy card on her 30th birthday. She appreciated it. She thought that was the best.
Yeah, by the way.
Because she did not want that.
That clock's ticking over there.
You keep trying to make me like anxious about turning 30 and it's not going to happen.
I know what you're getting for your birthday.
From me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing I give everybody on their 30th birthday.
So many fucking copies.
I got a case of them in the basement.
God damn it. No. You just have to keep finding younger and younger friends.
I was going to say, what the fuck?
I'm going to have to do something different. She knows it's coming.
The only thing I have to say about this movie remaining is Maggie Gyllenhaal's nipples are so small. Not the nipple, the like areola.
Mm-hmm. I thought she had like the perfect areola. Like, yeah.
I wouldn't say
perfect. Oh, you didn't like them?
I think we need to unpack this.
No, I just said they're really small. I wouldn't say
they're small.
I wouldn't say perfect. They are an areola.
I feel like they're maybe 25% larger than Sam's.
Probably.
Who's Sam? Yeah.
They're definitely larger Sam. Than Sam's.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They were tiny, and they were larger than Sam's.
They call them 20 cents.
Okay.
Good dimes.
Two dimes.
Okay.
And they are two dimes.
I think hers are larger than a dime.
Oh, yeah, hers were definitely larger.
They absolutely are, yeah. And she's a smaller person.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume she's a smaller person because I have a hard time envisioning someone being a larger person.
Can you imagine a 6.5-foot Maggie Gyllenhaal?
That sounds exciting.
I know.
But
I know frequently.
But Jake Gyllenhaal's like 4.5 foot tall.
She got all the height.
Oh, man. I'm going to envision this for weeks. Just a giant Maggie Jill. She's got one really strong arm. She's Wentworth. She got one tiny arm.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, why she needs to have, like, uneven arms. But
okay. She got Wentworth arms.
I don't know what that is.
I'm not in the habit of explaining myself.
No, I don't. That's fine. I don't need to know about your fantasies.
Wentworth was the dirty secret.
All
right, we done here? I gotta go to work tomorrow.
Jesus Christ.
Sure. Searching next week.
Who was it that used to do that? Just announce that the podcast was over and then...
Daryl.
Yeah, but he would just leave.
Okay.
We're like in the middle of a thought. It's like, we're done here, right?
We're done here, right?
See ya.
Yeah.
Well, we're done here. I can go back to playing Civilization 4, right?
There you go.
Okay.
Well, it was either that or when this guy had to pee. That used to be the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we used to drink.
Yeah, we did used to drink.
Are we done?
Yeah.